Hello, Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 252 on December 10th, 2019. Change in the world, one ass at a time. If you'd like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire, which we will have a sample of at the end of this podcast. Go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Become a Patron button on my website. If you prefer to avoid recurring monthly charges, you can always make a one-time donation by simply doing the math. $1 a month times 12 equals $12, and you'll get the same benefits as a $1 monthly patron. The link to make a one-time donation is just beneath the Patron button on my website. Another way to support my work is through EnticeMe.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. EnticeMe offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Go to EnticeMe.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER. If you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You will be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. Spice up your holiday gift giving. Okay, so let's talk about how Movember came out, you guys. So, okay, you remember last week I issued the Tata challenge, right? And it didn't quite go all the way, right? So I decided to keep it going. And oh my gosh, all I had to do was say, hey, you know, I'm 250 shy of the $1,000 goal that I set. And two guys stepped right up to the plate. Oh my gosh, 250 apiece. One of them gave 250 to the team, the Sex Educators of the World team, right? So it didn't show up on my personal thing that I raised. So that was still at 750. And then another guy came in and did the 250 to make mine 1,000. So I raised 1,000 myself. I met my goal. Oh my gosh, you guys are awesome. It was Wald who gave 250 and David who gave 250. And my totals were for myself, my personal Movember total was $1,000. And then my team, the Sex Educators of the World, topped out at $1,260. Now, they're still saying that if you are in the United States and you use a MasterCard to make a $10 donation, that MasterCard will match it. So, you know, if you want to give some more, Movember absolutely could use every penny if you are so motivated. Some people do end-of-the-year giving type of stuff, and they take a look around and give a little bit to the causes they believe in. Well, this is a really good one. Since 2007, Movember has donated over $56 million to the Prostate Cancer Foundation, funding 45 scientific research awards that have vastly improved the understanding and treatment of prostate cancer. The relationship between Movember and the Prostate Cancer Foundation has supported a global community-oriented effort dedicated to saving lives and improving men's health. So there's this video I'm going to put a link to of Dr. Peter Nelson. He's one of the guys that runs the Prostate Cancer Foundation, talking about prostate cancer and some of the things that they've discovered about it. I'll put that in the linkorama. And even though it gets kind of scientific, he talks about it in a way that's fairly easy to understand. He gives details about prostate cancer, some of the things they know about it, how they treat it. And yes, it is all quite understandable. So that link will be in the linkorama. And thank you to everyone. Yes, I did indeed post pictures of my tatas. Pictures, plural. I liked what one of my listeners said. He said, you underpromised and overdelivered because I posted 3 in focus, well-lit photos of my tatas. Those would be posted on my blog. Of course, I could not post them on Facebook because Facebook sucks. That would have violated the nipple rule. That would have violated the female nipple rule. Anyhow, those pictures are up there anytime you'd like to go take a look. And thank you all for your donations. Oh my gosh, that was a very successful fundraiser for me. I met my goal and it was $1,000. And that was pretty hefty. You know, I was pretty confident, but at the same time, it's twice as much as last year. So thank you all so much, everyone who donated. Really appreciate it. Okay, so what's coming up? Let's see, the next webinar is coming up. On Thursday, December 12th, there'll be another equipment webinar at 6 p.m. And then nothing for the rest of the year until January 12th, on which day there will be 3 webinars, beginning, equipment, and advanced, 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. And what else is coming up? Oh, don't forget the cross-dressing podcast and the bisexual podcast. So submission deadline for the cross-dressing podcast is January 3rd. Submission deadline for the bisexual podcast is January 17th. Women are welcome to contribute as well. Just tell your story from your point of view. If you have a partner who loves to cross-dress, or if you have a partner who's bisexual, and how that interacts with your relationship, the pegging, the whole thing. Okay, so let's start off with the letters here. And Rafa wrote back. Rafa was the guy who was saying they still peg once in a while and it's awesome, but he doesn't ask her for it as much as he would like because he's not really sure that she really likes it. So he wrote back with more information, and I would like to share this with you. Hi, Ruby. I just listened to your podcast. Awesome as usual. It was a thrill to hear you reading my letter. You are right when you said that maybe the reason why I feel that pegging is a chore for my wife is all in my head. I'll explain that. When I first asked her to be pegged, almost a year ago, my only condition was that in case she wouldn't be comfortable doing it, that was the end of the story. For me, she always comes first, and I would feel horrible if she were to peg me just to do me a favor, but not enjoy it at all. So after the deed, I asked her how was it, and she said that it was fun. She was smiling all the time, and it was very sensual. So we decided that pegging was going to be a regular thing between us. I periodically check with her about how she feels about pegging, and I always get the same answer, that she would do it whenever I want and with the frequency that I want, that she really enjoys taking care of me, and that she knows how much I need it and how much I enjoy it, so how could she not give it to me? Regarding the schedule, we already do that. We have pegging sessions the week I ask her to, and we schedule it days ahead as I want to be completely clean and need to take care of my diet at least 2 days before. So it seems all well and good, and as you see, I have no apparent reason to be concerned. Yet sometimes, inside my head, there's that bad feeling that I'm being a bit selfish for asking her to fuck me while she gets no physical pleasure from it. I know it is not the reality, and that I need to work on that. Maybe with the time passing, it will go away. That's the reason why I have been increasing the time between pegging sessions. We started weekly, and we are now doing it on a monthly basis, which is the maximum time that I have resisted without asking her for the date. I wonder if there are more men that are like me, that have those bad feelings, and if that is the case, how did it all end for them? Thank you for your hard work, Ruby. It's always a pleasure receiving the patron email with the new installment of your podcast. It always makes my day. Have a wonderful week, Rafa. So Rafa, this part about how she doesn't get anything out of it, well, you know, the same thing happens if you give her oral sex or if she gives you oral sex. It doesn't have to be concurrent pleasure. There are things we do for each other that are definitely all pleasure goes in one direction. But I read this because I would love to hear from other men if they had those bad feelings. And like you said, you wonder if that's the case, how it all ended up for them. Good for you that you are scheduling it and that you're scheduling it regularly. And I encourage you to believe her when she said she'll do it as often as you like. Thanks for giving us an update, Rafa. Here's my next letter. Hi, Ruby. Hope all is well with you. This is just a small observation on how once you get into prostate massage, how sensitive everything can become down there. My wife has started giving me four-finger prostate massage. I am left shaking all over. This is a prelude to pegging me in a sort of spoon position. I can't last long. I'm hooking my leg behind my wife's legs to drive her into me, and also I'm just gripping the middle of my cock with hardly any movement. My cum jets out of me after 2 to 3 minutes, with a massive all-body orgasm at the end. It leaves me a shaking mess. I'm also finding I can edge so much better now. I have a clearish fluid running out of me, which I suck off my fingers. I could never swallow my cum before, but now I drink it up. I am exploring what my body can do, and will be exploring sounding now. Isn't it funny how we can develop once our sexual shame is removed, and we can enjoy self-love as well as the love with our partners? It is so liberating. Keep up the good work, and cheers from across the pond, Dee. Dee, it's so lovely to hear from you, and especially lovely to hear that your playtime with your wife leaves you a shaking mess. That's an excellent phrase. I really enjoy that. It's like a vision of total abandon, right? That's really sweet. Yes. So part of the reason I wanted to read this is because I'm intrigued by how the sensitivity has increased for you. It's almost like you can tune into it more and more and better, which is totally awesome. So thank you for sharing that. Here's my next letter. Just thank you is the subject. Dearest Ruby, I just needed to say thank you for your incredible work putting together a men's work linkorama to rule them all from episode 250. Holy shit. If you keep it up at this rate, you will be saving way more than one ass at a time, mine included. I can't wait to dig into all that. Does it also strike you as ironic that a woman who has made a career out of fucking guys in the ass has also got the best resource library for dudes who want to get their shit together and also wants them to have it for free? So I struggle to reconcile your identification as a sadist simultaneously with the awesome depth and breadth of your obvious love for men in general, as well as your respect for the power in someone allowing you to enter their body. I would love to hear you comment on that. I must have some narrow definitions of the term I am working with, because healer seems a more apt label for you to me than sadist does. I'm sure you will tell me they're not exclusive terms, and in my judgment, that is so in your case. I am a recently crawled out of the closet bottom who, as soon as I said out loud, "Shit, I think I am a bottom," also realized that I had been using self-deprecating humor, among other things, for years to get people to scratch my secret itch, non-consensually and for free, with some shitty side effects, as it turns out. Your hashtag no shame couldn't be more appropriate for me. I gotta find a way past all this motherfucking shame. I don't know how I got it, but I got it bad. So I got some reading to do. Thanks for all the great resources and all your other beautiful work setting the world to rights. Your pal, Cam. Cam, wow. Thank you so much for all these lovely words and kind words and sharing. You know, I struggled with my identification as a sadist as well. Well, because of the knee-jerk from the word sadist, you picture somebody with a whip that's whipping someone and making their back bleed and doing all kinds of things and torturing them, and it's not quite like that. And it's really no fun for me to do sadistic things to people if they're not enjoying them. So that's kind of an interesting balance there. I think a true sadist will enjoy giving pain just for the sake of giving pain. But in the end, I love giving pleasure. And I also love giving pain, but only if it's something that the person enjoys experiencing, which is, I guess you could kind of say, is a type of pleasure, because it's an erotic sort of crossing the wires between pain and pleasure is my very, very favorite thing to do. You know, a bunch of paddle smacks and then a caress in your private parts that leaves you swooning is one of my favorite things to do. One of the many. They're not mutually exclusive, absolutely. In fact, I've done some impact play, which is, I think a person has to be, to a certain extent, sadistic to enjoy delivering impact play, because I know that for some people it freaks them out if they pick up something and start hitting someone. In fact, a friend of mine, he said his wife tried to beat him with something and she just burst into tears. So yes, there are people like that that are absolutely not sadistic at all. I have worked with veterans with PTSD who have had cathartic emotional outpourings after getting beaten. And you nailed it. I really, really identify with the term healer. I am absolutely a healer. What's surprising to me, and I think is difficult for you to reconcile, as you mentioned, is that the sadistic part of me can also be healing. Because I've been a massage therapist for 30 years, so of course I'm a healer, of course. And I've also been really, really in tune with and interested in emotional health, especially for men, for all of those years as well. And when BDSM came into the mix, it was fascinating to me how some of the sadistic things that I really enjoyed doing could be so therapeutic for people. I mean, I knew a woman who was what they call a heavy pain bottom, who really liked to be beaten hard, and she needed it. It sort of cleared her head. She needed it once in a while. And I performed that service for her because she'd recently gotten out of a relationship that was pretty toxic, didn't want to go back to it just to get beaten. And I said, look, let me do this for you. So yes, I am a sadist. And yes, I am a healer. Indeed, indeed. They are definitely not mutually exclusive. It was fascinating to read your take on this. It's pretty cool. And I wish you the very best in telling that shame to go take a fucking hike, because it doesn't serve and you don't need it. And you're perfect just the way you are. Thank you so much for the letter, Cam. And my next letter is titled A Long, Hard, Deep Thank You. Dear Ruby, I have to start off by warning you that this is going to be really long and drawn out way of saying thank you. Okay, here I go. I discovered your podcast in 2015. I was having issues in my marriage. My wife and I were only having sex once every 2 months at best. I have a very healthy sexual appetite, so I require sex much, much more frequently than what I was getting. Being the nerd that I am, I began looking for resources to help me in this arena. I stumbled upon your podcast, and I was immediately hooked. My introduction to the wonderful area that is my anus was with an older woman I dated when I was in my mid-20s. She gave me a rim job one night, and it changed my life. I had no idea how wonderfully sensitive that area was. I never had such an amazing orgasm up to that point in my life. I decided to take it a step further, and I bought myself a small anal toy to see what that felt like. I loved it. Stupid social norms forced me to doubt myself and question my sexuality, so I stopped there. After all, I am a firefighter paramedic. I must be the manliest of all men, and if I continue, then I will turn myself gay. Oh, how wrong I was. The more I dove into my career as a firefighter paramedic, the more I craved shoving dildos in my ass. The more pressure I had at work, the more eager I was to run home and shove the biggest thing into my ass. The relief I felt when I climaxed with a big, long, hard, cock-shaped dildo in my tight little virgin ass was incredible. I need to take a cold shower. I am throbbing typing this. People's lives were in my hands 24 hours a day, and my release was anal play. Your podcast assured me that I was not alone. Your voice made me feel welcome. Your sexy giggle turned me on. You gave me the confidence to bring this kinky side of me up to my wife. I did so, and she was horrified. This story has a positive side, I promise. My wife was a self-labeled, open-minded liberal who supported all minorities and sexual orientations. I thought for sure she would be supportive of this from her own husband. I was so wrong. She called me gay. She told all the neighbors and our friends. I was mortified, shrunken down by the good old social norms. This started a rapid spiraling of events that led to separation and then divorce. I took this horrible curveball and turned it into a home run. This was a catalyst for change. Good change. Great change. I went out on my own and took ownership of all aspects of my life, especially my sexuality. I was confident and ready to start over and take advantage of this short life we all have. Every girl I dated since the divorce found out about my kinky side, and they all loved it. I don't think it was the act itself, but they were in love with the confidence with which I triumphantly exposed it to them in conversation. I never went all the way with the girls I dated because I wanted to give the pleasure to a worthy woman. I will finally get my ultimate fantasy of getting my ass fucked by my wonderful, supportive, and overall amazing girlfriend of 2 years. Tomorrow, I go home after a long 4 straight days at work, and she is ready to give it to me. We've had sex with an Eneros in my ass, but now I'm ready for her to dress in some sexy lingerie and strap on a big, long, thick, juicy cock and shove it in and out of my ass until I explode. I started listening to your podcast again, and I have registered as a member on your website. I noticed your message boards are pretty barren, and I saw you recommended a new social media platform to interact with the community. I would love to interact with other members and encourage them to accept and love their inner self and not be ashamed of wanting to feel the most incredible and intimate act of anal penetration. Thank you, Ruby. Your message is amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Sincerely, El Mister. Nice name, El Mister. I have seen you on the chat. I think I can't remember which social platform. I'm imagining it was MeWe. You know, you have such an amazing story that one of the places you could share that story would be over on Reddit. Reddit has a group called Straight Pegging. And as much as I'm not fond of the name of the group, it's really well moderated, and it has a lot of people who are just interested in pegging, and there's a number of people who end up there who have a lot of fears and concerns and myths and misconceptions and all that. So that would be a lovely audience to post your story and to try and reassure people. The MeWe group is another place. People kind of come and go in that chat, and you are welcome on the MeWe group to actually go to the main group posting area as opposed to the chat and post your story there. Absolutely, you can do that. You know, that's not sacred territory and only the chat can be used, because your story deserves to be told in full as opposed to just a bunch of chopped up chat messages, right? So that's another place that you can do it. And I am immortalizing it on the podcast here. And I'm so thrilled that everything worked out. This is the second time someone has written me and said, yeah. So I got in touch with All This Pleasure. I told my wife, she freaked out, and we got divorced. And I always feel so bad about that. I mean, I know it worked out well in the end because the exact same thing happened to that guy. He said, and now I'm with someone who absolutely loves that part of my sexuality. And although it was a rough road, I cannot thank you enough. So same thing here, you know, sorry that it was a rough road. Good for you for taking that opportunity to take charge of your life, take charge of your sexuality and embrace it 100% and look for someone who also embraced it 100%. That's awesome. And I wanted to mention, I wanted to address this lovely part of your story about how all the women after your divorce were into it, and you thought that it was largely because of the, I love the word you used, the triumphant manner with which you talked about this with them. This is one of the things that I tell everybody, all you listeners checking this out, this is one of the things that I say, is when you tell your partners, when you divulge this information, if at all possible, do it with a level of excitement. Do it with the type of, so with me, you get to check out this awesome, cool thing that I love to do, and I'll tell you all about it, and it's the coolest thing ever. This would be the ideal way to approach a partner with this. This would be the best thing, right? Especially when meeting a new partner. It doesn't quite fit the mold for if you've been with somebody for a really long time and you're divulging for the first time, but you get the point. Definitely try and lose the embarrassment, the shame, and be excited and triumphant. Nice job on that. That's amazing and admirable, and I applaud you and salute you, sir. Nice job. I'm particularly intrigued by how you were using anal play, self-play, to deal with your stress of work Because, yes, I can only imagine how stressful your job is. I know a little bit about that, a little bit about some of the PTSD stuff and the first responder type of issues of stress that people who work those jobs have to deal with. But I find it very intriguing that your method for dealing with that stress was anal play. That's freaking awesome. I particularly like it, I think, because, I mean, we talked about all this stuff in the Movember podcast about men not opening up and sharing their emotions and that kind of stuff. And men who have jobs exactly like you do, and the first responder jobs and all the macho jobs, the really, really masculine ones, right? Especially the high stress ones. They are trained not to have emotions and respond in an emergency, especially someone in your type of job. So you have to turn it off. And how awesome that you are then going home and doing something that just opens you up again. And I don't mean just literally, because yes, it opens your ass up, but at the same time, there's a vulnerability that is absolutely necessary to be penetrated anally. And all I can say is I find it really fascinating that that's how you dealt with your stress. That's totally awesome. El Mister, thank you for the letter and for sharing, and you are so welcome, sir. So welcome. Clearly, it's been a few days since you wrote this, so I am waiting for you to write in with your story so that I can play the music for you. It's been a long wait for you, it sounds like. Talk about anticipation. Goodness. Okay. So I'll be expecting that. Just write it anytime. I mean, because, you know, from what you said, it's already happened, right? Can't wait to play that music for you. And thanks again for the letter. And now it's time for a little bit of study about communication, about honesty, about long-distance relationships. Yeah, that's what I'm going to call this. And the official title is called Retribution. Never thought I'd see her again. Never. We parted on bad terms, and that's putting it mildly. I tricked her. Yeah, I know what that makes me. You don't have to remind me. I tricked her into believing that I was available, that I loved her, neither of which were true. The chemistry between us was off the freaking charts, and I just couldn't resist. I visited her town every 2 weeks on business, and it was far, far away from my real home, the one with the 2-year marriage and the happy wife. The wife who was satisfied with missionary sex a couple of times a week, and resistant to anything that strayed outside of her narrow lines of sexuality. The wife who had no idea I fuck other women, too. I am basically unable to keep it in my pants. Every new woman I meet feels like an irresistible conquest that I just can't leave alone. It's a chess game. I can pretend to be whatever they want me to be, and I'm so good at reading them that I rarely miss my mark. That's the way it was with Nicole. She had that spark in her eye and swing of her hips that spoke of a very sexually confident woman, the opposite of my wife. I had to have her. So every 2 weeks when I went to Denver, I played her hard, and she was mine in just 2 months. She was exactly what I thought she'd be in bed, bold and adventuresome, my favorite kind of woman. Nicole was one in a million, just as freaky as I was sexually, and always ready to fuck. Never met a woman like that before or since. Looking back on it, I was pretty close to falling in love with her about the time I had to break things off. I didn't do it kindly. I just blurted it out and said goodbye. One morning she confronted me, woke me up from that comfy hotel bed, holding my wallet in her hand, and demanding to know why there was a wedding picture with me in it. I told her the bare-bones version of the truth, packed while she cried, and left. In the days that followed, I blocked her email accounts, didn't answer her phone calls, and prayed that she hadn't taken the time to look at the address on my driver's license. That was 6 years ago. She never contacted me again. There were more than a few times I wish she had. Special woman. In the intervening years, my wife finally caught me cheating and divorced me. I'd been single for the last couple of years, and that provided me with all the freedom I needed to play around even more. Sometimes I enjoyed a different woman every night when I was on the road, but when I came home, there was nothing. A very nice high-rise loft with no one home. No one to greet me. Not even a sexually incompatible wife who was doing her best to please me. Pretty shallow life. Pretty damn empty. I've identified the cycle, but can't seem to break it. So now, I'm on a business trip. I walk into this hotel bar in fucking Atlanta, and there she is, Nicole, beautiful as ever, sitting at a table in the corner reading a book. Her hair is different. Those long brown curls that she used to wrap around my cock are gone. The short cut flatters her feminine face, and her lovely round body hasn't changed at all, thank goodness. She kept talking about losing weight back in Denver, and I begged her not to. I love curves on a woman. I can't stop staring, but I realize that she probably won't be too happy to see me, and it might be prudent to just sneak right out the door and forget about her. Because really, what is there to even think about? She'd probably like to punch me, not kiss me. Certainly not fuck me, much as I miss that. I turn and stand at the bar, trying to decide whether to stay or go. I find I can't go. Nicole is the one woman who I really connected with. She still makes regular appearances in my fantasies. And in those rare moments when I think I want a relationship, it is always Nicole who comes to mind. No one else is ever even in the running. We talked about so many things in the 8 months I was doing business in Denver, including the sexual fantasies we'd never shared with anyone else ever. She was so amazingly open. I trusted her, which is a pretty fucked up thing to admit since I was royally fucking her over while she was giving me a safe place to confess my sexual kinks. We talked about monogamy once, and she said she wasn't really interested in it. She was more interested in honesty and making sure we were both happy and comfortable with whatever choice we made about fucking other people. Then she leaned close to me and told me she really wanted to tie me to the bed, go down to the hotel bar and pick up some guy, bring him back, and they'd fuck in front of me, or maybe she'd have him fuck me. See? See why I never stopped thinking about her all those years? She's as nasty as I am. I remain facing away from her and order a double margarita to calm my nerves. When it arrives, I seriously consider just taking it up to my room. It's like I'm paralyzed, though. I can't leave. And then Nicole makes the decision for me. I hear her deep, soft voice say, "Excuse me, Patrick?" She's standing right behind me, and I don't have a choice. I have to face her, and I'm hoping she won't punch me. Not that I don't deserve it. I turn around and feign surprise. "Nicole! Wow! What are you doing in Atlanta?" I'm hoping the question will put the right amount of space between us in this situation so that I can figure out where I stand with her. But she is actually smiling. "I'm here doing some consulting work for the hotel. I still live in Denver. Leaving for home tomorrow, actually. How about you? You still in Roanoke?" So she had looked at the address on my license. "No, actually I went ahead and moved into D.C. after I got divorced. I have a nice loft there, and the commute's only about 15 minutes. "Divorced, I see." Her voice is kind of flat and impossible to read, even for me, the man who can read anyone. My emotions are all up in this business way too much. Not good. "Look, Nicole, I don't think I can ever apologize enough to make things right. I am so sorry." Her laughter comes easy and soft, surprising me. "Oh goodness, Patrick, that was 6 years ago. No worries." I remember how she picked up that saying after her trip to Australia. She smiles a big smile with her full lips, and I find myself, the player, completely disarmed. "Can I buy you a drink?" She's serious and signals the bartender rather than wait for an answer for me. "Well, that's very gracious of you, Nicole. Thank you. I can't see as I deserve that much kindness, but I'm certainly grateful for it." I am putting on my self-effacing best, trying to get back in the player's seat. That's when it happens. "Will you sit down, please? I have some things to say." I gesture to the stool next to mine, and she slips onto it gracefully, looking at me with a bit of a question on her face. She feels the shift in me. My story comes pouring out. Everything. Well, maybe I fudge in the numbers of the women I've been with, but the rest of it is true. I've been lonely since my divorce, and she is who I've been thinking about, who I really want. What the fuck? Who is this Patrick? Part of me throws these questions up in my mind in disbelief, even as I speak. But the part of me that's still talking knows what I want. A partner. Damn double margarita on an empty stomach. Stupid idea. And yet I am nervously drinking the second one now. Nicole listens attentively and asks questions occasionally until she's gotten the whole story. except about how many women there have been. I tell her everything else. How my divorce happened suddenly, and I was glad we hadn't had kids. How I'd picked up and moved far away from Roanoke, away from the judgment of her friends and her parents. How the loft was spacious and had an amazing view, but despite the job that made me boatloads of money and the freedom to do whatever I wanted, what I really wanted was to be with someone. And how it wasn't that simple, because so many people were so sexually close-minded, and I had to be careful with my government job and all. And how, amidst all that, I kept thinking about her. She was the one woman who I'd always felt like I could really be myself with, who I could trust with my sexuality, and who I actually felt like I could share a life with. I stop there and wish for a verbal fishing pole so that I can reel back in that last line. Fucking double margarita my ass. What the fuck, Patrick? Well, nothing to be done about it now. I'd said it. I summon the courage to look up into her eyes. I find her smiling again. A sweet, understanding smile. She slides off her bar stool and steps right up to me, all 5'9" of her, turns my stool towards her, and pushes between my legs to take me in her arms and kiss me, softly at first, and then deeply. Not what I expected. We kiss a little too long for a hotel bar, and then she pulls back from me. Why don't you come on up to my room and we can talk about old times, catch up a little more? Her intentions are unmistakable as she purrs those words out from between her beautiful red lips. Room 229. In half an hour, she touches her lips to mine again, and I can feel the electricity between us. I'll be there. What else can I say? I'd be crazy not to go. It is at that point that my dick starts running the show. He's used to getting us ready, since I always start thinking with my dick when I suspect a good fucking is on the menu. With Nicole, it might even be me who is getting fucked. That made my dick hard just thinking about it. We used to play that way a lot. And although my dick doesn't make the best choices sometimes, he gets us showered and shaved, ass cleaned out, teeth brushed, and pubic hair trimmed, so we are ready for Nicole. But when I knock on room number 229, my stomach is in my throat and my dick is soft as a marshmallow. I'm not sure exactly where I stand with Nicole. She should hate me. I would if I were her. But maybe all that time went by and that part of it faded and she was left remembering the hot sex we had. That's what I hope is true, anyway. When she opens the door, I am stunned. Nicole always did know how to wow me. Her amazing breasts are on display in a royal blue corset. Her pale skin against the deep blue is striking, and the corset has garters that attach to black lace-top stockings. She's got on black fuck-me heels, too. The short, black, flirty skirt she's wearing barely covers her sumptuous bottom. My God, I'd want to put my face between those sexy round cheeks and remember what it was like to just worship that awesome ass. My dick is no longer marshmallow status, and I glance back and forth in the hall to make sure no one else has the view that I do. Nicole smiles and invites me in. I feel self-conscious. I'm just an average-looking guy with a bit of a pot belly who's going bald. I'm no head-turner with the women, even if I have more charm than I know what to do with. Nicole is simply gorgeous. I feel out of her league. But I don't have much time to think about all that as she shuts the door behind me and orders, "Close off, Patrick, now." I'd almost forgotten the feeling of being with a woman who likes to be in control. A thrill travels through me, ending up in my dick. By the time I'm naked, I'm hard and eager for some fun. Nicole runs the show, just like she used to. I service her for a long time, every way she orders me to. Piece by piece, all her sexy lingerie ends up in a pile next to the bed, until she's delightfully naked with me. She directs me to lick her delicious pussy for 2 orgasms, and then use my fingers to send her into G-spot heaven. At that point, Nicole seems pretty happy, but she still won't let me come. By then I am so ready to fuck her, or even better, be fucked by her, and I'm not sure which I will get. To think that she actually has her strap on with her, even though she's traveling for work, seems a stretch. Not likely. But she had the corset and all of those sexy dress-up things. Why wouldn't she bring her strap on, too? It is her favorite thing to do to a man. I know that. Nicole ties me to the bed face down and spread wide. My anticipation is high. Looks like I'm getting my wish. And if she brought her restraints, surely she has her other toys. The leather cuffs on my ankles and wrists are snug, and I'm pulled tight to the corners of the huge four-poster bed. I close my eyes and wait. My dick pushes longingly against the sheets, and I imagine what it's going to feel like to have her sink inside me. I indulge in solo anal play all the time, but have only found one woman to fuck me since Nicole. They were few and far between. Suddenly, Nicole pushes a long, lubed finger deep inside me, and I moan. God, I am such a slut for ass play. You are so hungry for this, aren't you? She speaks the words like a statement, not a question. Yes, I am. I arch my back up to meet her finger and moan again when she begins to massage my prostate. It feels so good, I want to scream. Two fingers replace one, and my ass happily opens up for her as she pushes them inside me. Yes! How many women have fucked you since the last time we saw each other, Patrick? The question surprises me, but she sounds inquisitive, not accusatory. Just one. I speak the words quietly, and a little moan follows as she sinks her fingers into me again. And how many times did she fuck you? Three. With her fingers inside me, it is a little difficult to think. Tell me, Patrick, did she fuck you as well as I did? Oh, geez, best to flatter her here, it's the truth anyway. Fuck no, Nicole, no one has ever fucked me like you. Nicole gets up from the bed and goes to her suitcase on a stand near the bathroom. I crane my neck to see what she's getting. She steps into the bathroom with whatever it is. Unsurprisingly, she emerges a few minutes later wearing a black leather harness that holds a pretty large and realistic-looking dildo. I experience a little fear looking at it. She notices. Don't worry, Patrick. You can handle it. She smiles at me and climbs onto the bed behind me, ready to attack my ass with that thing. Part of me wants her to, and part of me is afraid it will be too much. It looks bigger than anything I've ever taken before. But Nicole has always known what she's doing when it comes to ass fucking. She warms me up expertly, sliding three fingers in my ass with ease, opening me up more and more until I practically have dreams of her fisting me. Then she touches the head of her toy to my opening. What do you want, Patrick? What? Tell me what you want. I want you to fuck me, Nicole. That's not good enough. She pushes the head in a little and pulls it out, teasing me. Beg for it. Her voice sounds stern and excites me even more. I back up my ass, wanting it. Please, Nicole, please fuck my ass. Make me your bitch, please. The words come tumbling out, and my voice has the tension of a man who really needs to come. I close my eyes and wait to feel invaded in my most favorite way. My ass is so hungry for her. Nicole laughs softly, and I feel her get off the bed. She must need more lube or something. I wait and breathe and push my hard dick into the bed. I hear rustling and grow curious, so I open my eyes. Nicole is partially dressed in jeans and a bra. She's putting things into her suitcase. I take in the scene with no small amount of confusion. Nicole, what? Why are you dressed? What are you doing? She pauses for a moment from her task of packing and looks at me. She bursts into laughter at the look in my face. What am I doing? Another small giggle escapes her lips. Oh, Patrick, did you really think I was going to fuck you? Really? Her words sink in and my dick immediately goes soft. Not because I am not going to get fucked, but I realize I am now completely at the mercy of a woman who is still really pissed at me, and I'm scared. Wow, she played that part well. I completely fell for it. Fuck. Nicole throws her bathroom items in her suitcase and zips it up. She pulls a sweater over her head and sits down on the corner of the bed to put her shoes on. She keeps talking while I try to figure out what is the best thing to say in this moment. No, I'm not going to fuck you, Patrick. You don't deserve it. I just wanted to give you a taste of what it feels like to get used, to have your feelings carelessly disregarded for the sake of a good fuck. How ironic. You were the one talking relationship this time. Nicole, please, I'm so sorry. I was an ass. I fucked up. I took advantage of you. It was wrong. horribly wrong. Can we talk about this? Will you let me loose, please? Can we have a conversation at least? No, I don't think so. There's really nothing to talk about, and I kind of like you just the way you are right now. In fact, I know that look on your face. It's the look of wanting something very, very badly and knowing you will never, ever get it. Nicole touches up her lipstick in the bathroom mirror and grabs her suitcase. She smiles at me and says, "Bye-bye, Patrick," with a sing-song voice. Right before she walks out the door, I can hear her laughing as she walks down the hall. Fuck! I consider my options. None of them good. Maybe I can get myself loose. Failing that, I guess I'll just have to start yelling for help. I wish I wasn't staying at this hotel because this might get embarrassing. The tall, blonde hotel clerk in his spotless uniform looked up from his work to see a guest approaching with her luggage. He frowned slightly. Miss Stevens was not scheduled to check out until tomorrow morning. Miss Stevens, are you leaving us so soon? He smiled and looked her right in the eye, going for the tip. I am, Connor. I've had a change of plans, so I'll be checking out right away. Yes, ma'am. He handled her paperwork efficiently and smoothly. I'll have your car brought up for you. Perfect. And I already have a reservation for next month, correct? You do indeed, ma'am, on the 15th. Thanks, Connor. Oh, and there's a favor I need to ask of you. Anything, ma'am? He looked at her expectantly. I left a bit of a mess in my room and don't want the maids to have to deal with it. Would you be so kind as to take care of it? As she spoke, she pulled a $50 bill out of her purse and pushed it towards him on the counter, smiling with her deep red lips. I'd be happy to, ma'am. No trouble at all. Connor scooped up the bill quickly and slipped it in his pocket. He waved a porter over to handle her luggage. It was a pleasure having you stay with us again, Ms. Stevens. Have a good trip back home. Thank you. I definitely will. She flashed him a startlingly big smile and walked out to the street. Connor found a replacement for the front desk and went to find out what was worth $50 in room 229. He heard the yelling as soon as he got off the elevator. Oh, this one makes me laugh. So, okay, what are we looking at here? We're looking at honesty. Okay, always best to be honest and tell the person the truth when you get together with them. And I do wish to point out another thing that is important to know in this study of communication and perhaps a few BDSM techniques is that this does not portray the correct BDSM technique, because once you have someone tied up, you never, ever, ever leave them alone. So yes, this is sort of like one of those, for the sake of the study that we just did, it was written this way. However, this is not the way it should be done in real life. And what else? What other lessons can we learn from this study of communications and relations, and perhaps a little bit about karma? Perhaps. I had fun with this study, and I hope that you enjoyed it too. Do not tell people that I'm reading erotica on my podcast. This is a study in communication and relationships and honesty, because you can't read erotica on podcasts, okay? So, there you have it. Oh my gosh. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Or pegging101.com, which has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through your favorite podcast downloader app. And under the follow tab on my website, you can find links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and also check out my Facebook and MeWe pages. If you order some sexy new holiday gifts from enticeme.com, please do remember to use that coupon code WRITER for 15% off of your entire purchase. Send your questions to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. No question is too immature, too irreverent, or too irreconcilable. I may have used some of those words before. They sound a slight bit familiar, but we're going to stick with that. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so please don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox, or you can call my question line at 805-500-6544. Thank you so much for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging. #NoShame.